Can you talk a little bit more about the more advanced tumors and how you approach those?
The more advanced tumors, commonly the T3 and or node positive, based upon the randomized study from the Germans published in 2004 in the New England Journal of Medicine, the standard of care for that subset of patients is pre-op chemoradiation followed by surgery and post-operative chemotherapy. For patients with T4 or fixed tumors, the standard has always been preoperative therapy because patients who have T4 or fixed tumors, if they go to surgery at first, will have positive margins. One of the areas of interesting development that's happened because of the German study is that the pendulum, I think, appropriately so, has swung towards preoperative treatment. However, one interesting bit of data that is found in that particular trial is that patients who were T3 node negative in the German study, who were randomized to surgery first, were found to have T1, T2 with negative nodes, which means that we would be over-treating about 20% of patients with unnecessary pelvic radiation for preoperative treatment. On the converse side of that is that if people undergo surgery first, about 20 to 40% will then have positive lymph nodes that weren't detected at the initial pre-op workup and then will need to receive post-op chemoradiation, which according to the German study does show higher local recurrence rates and higher toxicity as well. So there is a real quandary because of the German study about preoperative therapy. There's both overtreatment and undertreatment, and I think one of the major questions facing colorectal cancer is how we identify patients with positive lymph nodes up front before preoperative therapy is given. This is the area that's under intense investigation. It's either going to be with better molecular markers or imaging or a combination thereof.
Can you kind of review what has been done in that arena and what seems to look the most promising?
Well, there's been a lot done, and I wish I could say a lot looked promising, but it hasn't. There have been a number of studies that looked at various molecular markers, either as single markers or multiple markers, but unfortunately, all of these studies are small, which when I mean small, certainly 50 or 75 or even fewer patients. And so it's very hard to tell in a single study looking at one or two selected markers which ones will predict for positive nodes. I think that the large national intergroup studies, which are currently ongoing in the U.S., would include 1,000 or 1,500 patients, are collecting tissues. And with that information, we will start to get answers, but that's about 4 or 5 years down the road. In terms of imaging, some of the advances in imaging are high-resolution MRI, which our European colleagues really are much more advanced than we are in that setting. And in ultrasound, there are ways to inject various agents into the lymph nodes to identify them. That's also still somewhat investigational. So there is interesting things going on. I would like to say we've made a lot of progress, but it's really not true. But hopefully over the next couple of years, we'll get a better handle on that information.
Now, how do you yourself approach the issue of the T3N0 lesion?
What I do is for a patient initially with a T3N0 lesion that's low in the rectum where an abdominal perineal resection would be needed, that's easy. We give them preoperative therapy. For a tumor that's high in the rectum, which is 10 centimeters above, I will have a conversation with a patient saying that the standard of care is preoperative therapy, and based on the German study, there's better local control and less toxicity. However, they do need to be aware that about 20% of the time they may receive unnecessary treatment. I have the conversation, and most people elect to have the therapy, but at the same time, others don't. And I find the ones who tend not to take preoperative therapy for those high tumors, T3N0, are people who are interested in preserving their fertility.
People interested in preserving their fertility.
Younger, 30, 35-year-old women who are still fertile, because if they receive pelvic radiation, they will become infertile.
What about men?
Men, not as much. Women are much more concerned.
What is the effect of men in terms of fertility?
Actually, it's a function of where the testes lie in terms of the radiation field. And just because of various anatomy, it just varies from person to person. So we don't have good long-term outcome. We do have long-term outcome on not just fertility, but we do have good long-term outcome on sexual function in men, but not fertility. And in general, about one-third of men will have some form of sexual dysfunction who receive radiation and surgery. Keeping in mind is that it's also a function of how old they are and what function they have coming in.
What's the time sequence of developing problems?
It happens rather quickly. This is not something which is seen 2 or 3 years down the road. Generally, it's within about 6 months after surgery.
Are there any techniques available to shield the testes or, for that matter, the ovaries?
Unfortunately not. There are techniques which have been developed in patients receiving treatment for lymphoma or Hodgkin's disease, but the radiation fields for that are quite different. Generally, those just included the nodal beds. When we're treating patients with rectal cancer, it really is not possible to do that. There are ways to reduce as much as we can using posterior and lateral techniques, but there's no definitive way where we can say absolutely we can decrease that. In women historically who have been treated for lymphoma, they were able to have their ovaries transposed, but the radiation fields are much larger for rectal cancer, and it's really not possible to do that. Furthermore, one other issue is that even if we were able to transpose the ovaries, the uterus is in the radiation field. And when the uterus receives a therapeutic dose of radiation, 45 to 50.4 gray, it cannot hold a pregnancy.
What about your approach to patients with T1 or 2 N0 lesions?
For T1, T2, we tell them to have conventional surgery, although they're not happy to hear that because they are generally looking for a more conservative approach, but that is our general recommendation. The only change is that if somebody has a T2 N0 rectal cancer by ultrasound and may need an abdominal perineal resection, we're willing to offer them preoperative radiation just as a way to downstage the patients, realizing that it's not really therapeutic for their cancer. It's more to allow the surgeon to convert the operation from an APR to possibly a low coloanal anastomosis.
Now, are there situations where you'll offer local excision outside a protocol setting?
If a patient refuses conventional surgery, yes, with the caveat saying that for a T1 N0, there is a 10, even as high as 15% chance of local recurrence. When I say local recurrence, that's both in the primary tumor as well as the lymph nodes.